This conference will now be recorded.
Oh.
We missed all that?
Did someone just turn on the recorder?
It would seem so.
Okay.
Mark, continue your comments.
Oh, sure. They screen the applications for a very, very wide range of considerations. Awards are approved by the PL Funds Review Committee, of which all of the non-Atlanta NPOs have a voting seat, as well as GDOT and Federal Highway. And these planning studies would require the typical 20% local match, which is usually provided by the project sponsor. In addition, there's a little bit of discretionary Federal Transit Administration planning funds available every year. That's a small amount. We're talking about in the hundreds of thousands rather than the millions. The plans and studies must be in the NPO work program, and the applications must be submitted by December. So the applications for next year's FTA discretionary grants already passed. It was passed in December. I was contacted by Kat about the possibility of some of these funds. And I said, well, we'll talk about 2023, but we just missed 2022 because we have to start so early. So, but those awards are approved simply by GDOT staff on an internal review. A couple of years ago, we got $27,000, for example, to help Kat buy some software, scheduling software and some data. And we're gonna try to help them do that again in 2023. Unfortunately for 2022, they forgot to let us know that they were interested. So, we do the best we can to support our members. Again, 20% local match required. we have done a lot with discretionary funds recently. In addition to the funding we got for CAT, we did two major interchange studies in fiscal year 2018 PL funds. We did a study of the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange and the I-95 Airways Avenue interchange. That's the airport exit on I-95. Those studies were completed at the end of calendar year 2019. We are currently doing two corridor studies, State Route 21 Access Management Study in Garden City and the State Route 307 corridor study, which is being sponsored by Chatham County. Those are new awards this year, and we're just kicking off those studies as of this month. The 21 access management study will be complete right around the end of 2021, and the 307 corridor study may run until about March of next year. So fairly fast. The 2022 UPWP development process is nearing its final stages. We started way back in October of 2020. We issued a call for plans and studies to our members, and that's a chance for them to let us know if they have issues that need to be looked at or studied. We can put some resources to that. That's how the interchange studies came up. That's how the 307 corridor study and the 21 access management study were proposed through the calls for plans and studies. In addition, also last October of 2020, we presented the proposed transit planning tasks to the core NPO board and the advisory committees, and that's because we have to make that early application for the FTA funds. The FTA 5303 grant application was submitted in December of 2020 by Alicia. The NPO staff then developed the draft work program between December and January of 2021. And the first draft of the work program was submitted to Federal Highway Administration and Georgia DOT for review and comments on January 8th of 2021. Federal Highway has requested to receive any planning documents for a 30-day pre-review before we share it with our committees and members. So as anytime the schedule allows for that, we give them that courtesy, and that's why we sent it to them on January 8th. We had agendaed the UPWP in February. You may remember that it initially appeared on the agenda for this committee, but it was decided to continue it until April when we received substantial comments from Federal Highway Administration on February 12th. And that we thought it was best, because of the nature of the comments, that we put the UPWP back under development so that we would have an adequate chance to address their comments and concerns before before asking for board action. We received additional comments on April 9th, and we believe we've primarily addressed most of those. We've released a couple of updated drafts on the MPO website, and there's a current draft also attached to your agenda item. But, you know, we still have a little bit more time if there are comments from the committee today. We'll try to get those addressed. The revised draft, and this is just a little bit out of date. There was a revised draft published on April 2nd. There was also a revised draft published, another revision published before your special called meeting, and another revision published just yesterday in time to get the most current information attached to your agenda today. And that's the end of the black text. It gets a little grayer because everything left here on the schedule is in the future. And I don't have the gift of prophecy, but the way we expect this to go is that we will ask the core MPO board to adopt the UPWP next week on April 28th. And Federal Highway Administration for approval, anticipating their approval prior to June 30th, 2021, so that we can execute our funding contracts and continue to carry out the transportation planning process. And the dates of the contracts are completely unpredictable. Sometimes we have them by June 30th, going right into the calendar year. Sometimes we get them 9 months into the year, if depending. That's the worst case for a transit planning contract. 1 year, we didn't get it until like the last quarter, but that's completely out of our hands, and that's a GDOT matter. We're good as long as we get our required planning documents to them timely. They've always made us good, so we're not worried about that. But we just need to get this through the MPO and get it to them so that they have time to respond to it. So that is, let's talk about what we're actually doing. That's right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Our major work activities next year, you can tell it's getting a little later in the day. because I haven't even talked about what we're doing with all of this, just how we're gonna do it, or the structure under which we're working. But there are actual things we're gonna accomplish, we think. We're going to start the update of our long-range transportation plan, or the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. That has to be updated every 5 years. We have a major update that's due in just under 3.5 years, so we're going to start to update the MTP. We'll probably have some visioning discussions, some development of goals and objectives, some of the early things that we can do, because one thing that's going to affect all of this is that later in the year, towards the summer, we're going to have the 2020 Census Urban Area designations published, and that can do several things that will affect what our planning boundary is required to be. We may have to make the MPO larger. Last census, we had to go into Effingham and Bryan counties. Assuming that the urban area expands, then we may have to go further into those counties this time, but we'll have to wait and see what the census says. And since most of our planning funds come to us by a formula that's based mostly on population, it can affect our funding levels, and those can go up or down. A couple of census cycles ago, we became a TMA and had increased planning requirements and lost a large chunk of our funds because Atlanta was growing so quickly. We went from 4% of the, we went from 6% of the state's urbanized population down to 4% because I quickly found out Atlanta's urbanized area had grown 50%. So if you didn't grow 50%, you lost money. That was a tough one. I don't think this one's going to be as dramatic. We'll probably grow a little. Our funds will probably adjust a little bit, but I don't think we're going to see a major net change. We're also going to start to update our congestion management process and our freight plan, because those will feed into the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. As I mentioned, we've just kicked off the State Route 21 and 307 studies, and those will be wrapping up within the next year. And the recommendations from those studies will also feed the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. In addition, as I mentioned also earlier, we just had our federal certification review that we completed in March. There were a number of recommendations. No matter how good you are, they've got to give you some recommendations. I don't care who you are or who they are. There are always going to be recommendations. Some of them you may already be doing, some you may not, but we have a pretty substantial list of recommendations. And so we've been working to incorporate those into the work program, one of which is on this page, which was the freight plan update. They specifically were interested in us updating our freight plan. Now, interestingly, freight plans are not required of NPOs. There's no federal requirement for that. The state is required to do one, but the NPOs are not. But because of our unique circumstances here with the port of Savannah, you know, we happen to be in agreement that it is a good idea to update the freight plan. So I think we're all on board with that, and we'll probably be pursuing some discretionary planning funds for that in the fall, because we've started discussions actually this month with the EDFAC committee, the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee, and the TCC, initial discussions, you know, about the scope of what that study may look like. So probably we'll be ready to apply for funding in the fall there. Organization of the work program, we have six major tasks and a lot of subtasks under those: administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis, and forecasting, systems planning and operations, transit planning, and special studies, both funded and unfunded. In this case, the unfunded special studies really are a wish list, but it's an influential wish list, because they typically, in almost all cases, are from a qualified local government sponsor who can put up the local match, so that when they are ready to pursue these studies, as long as we've taken all the procedural steps, we can go after the planning funds to get these studies rolling. It's really really mostly has to do with the sponsor's schedule, but these are the ones that we're aware of. And this is the summary funding table. As I mentioned, $628,420 is the total fiscal year 2022 planning funds. In addition, we're showing the $400,000 for the special studies in 2022, although that money is actually part of fiscal year 2021 budget. It's not 2022 money, but we were asked to show it just for transparency, which is how we used to do it until we had a change of oversight planners in Atlanta, and then they asked us not to do it, so we stopped doing it, and then we have another one now, and they asked us to show it again, so now we're showing it again. You know, you kind of learn to be flexible. But anyway, that's the total picture, about $1 million program in 2020, most of which is being carried out in 2022. I'll be happy to take any comments or answer any questions.
Any questions for Mark? Mark, the staff here is asking us to endorse this, so it goes on to the
board.
Board. Anyone wants to make a motion to go over to staff and endorse this plan, this program?
Tony Abbott, I'll make a motion to approve it as presented by staff.
Thank you. Any second? Is there a second?
Armand Turner, I second that motion.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the motion has been moved and seconded. Now it's time for us to act on it. Get a chance to ask questions concerning this, and no questions were raised. So I'm not going to ask you to vote on it. All in favor of endorsement, say, you know, say whatever you say, that's mark your affirmative support.
Aye.
Aye.
Three.
Aye. Tony Abbott, aye.
Okay, so I'm here about four ayes. Okay, so anyone else who wants to express themselves? Anyone opposed to it? Okay, there's no opposition, so the ayes have it. So we will endorse this, and we'll go to the board. And hopefully next week I'll make my first appearance as a member of the board, because as chair of this committee, I'm on that board, and I've never served on it, so I'm going to start doing that.
Okay, and you're
number four. Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to mention that if you're ever unable to attend, you can, you know, or you know, we appreciate you letting us know, but you know, staff in this case, I would, you know, again, Alicia is your lead staff member, but whoever is, you know, at the MPO board meeting could convey, you know, whatever the formal committee action was to the board if you weren't able to be there.
I'm sorry.
You know, we would simply let them know, you know, if you're in attendance, you know, that's better, but, you know, we would at least basically let them know that you had endorsed it to them. You know, we would pass that on.
Thank you. Action item number four, 2045 MTP Vision Plan Amendments. Will someone give a report on that? Is that Dakota's area? Number four, I'd like to check number four, 2045 MTP Vision Plan Amendments. You want to say anything about that? Staff report?
Okay, sorry, I didn't unmute myself. I was trying to save my GS file here. Yes, I'm just going to give a presentation on this very quickly. So basically, at the last meeting, remember the city of Pooler, the city of Pooler requested to amend two projects into our vision plan, the 2045 vision plan, which is the Pine Barren Road improvements and then South Roger Road improvements, South Roger Street improvements. And then we decided since other municipalities also have the needs, so we decided that we would just approach the other municipalities as well, so that we don't have to do one amendment for one project and then next meeting for another amendment for another project. So we want to just present to you a comprehensive project list. Potentially these projects can be, if we are going to have a TIS blast, so potentially these projects will be voted on as TIS blast, or I mean for the next round of blast. So this is a compiled project list from all the jurisdictions, but only focus on the text that are highlighted in blue, because those projects we are capacity building projects, and then they also have project descriptions. So some others just neglected, like resurfacing and the local street. So in order for them to be eligible in the future for federal funding, these projects have to be included in the financially constrained plan. But the first step for now, because they are not included in that portion, so the first step for them is to be included in the vision plan. So when we do have the funding and that they can move into the financially constrained plan, that way these projects will be eligible for federal funding. But they have to be in the core MPO planning boundary, and they also have to be on the collectors and above for functional classification. If local streets, they are not eligible. And also they have to like need federal funds. If they want to, if like, for example, Chatham County wants to fund a project with local, all local funds, they don't have to be included in the vision plan. So for this list, Bloomingdale, we're not going to have any projects eligible. For Garden City, we will have a Telfair Road improvements, and then the Old Louisville Road improvements eligible. For the city of Pooler, we will have a Pooler Parkway widening. I'm trying to get some information from Pooler today. So we will just have some project description for that one. And then for Quaker Road improvements, South Roger Street improvements, and Pine Barrier Road improvements. Neglect the North Roger Street improvement because this is local, functionally classified as a local street, so it's not eligible. So this is a wrong, this is a mistake to highlight it over here. And then the other one, this is also a mistake, is it shouldn't be Old River Road, it's Old Louisville Road. So these are the projects from the city of Pooler. From Port Wentworth, we will have Gulfstream widening project to be included. And then for the city of Savannah, we will have actually neglected Gulfstream road widening over here because this project, the PE phase, is already included in the 2045 constraint plan. So we're not going to include that one here, but we are going to include Montgomery Crossroad Bridge and Casey Canal improvements and the Skidway road widening project. And Thunderbolt, no project is eligible. And Tybee Island, no project is eligible. And Vernonburg, no project is eligible. And Chatham County projects, so we're going to have Quaker Road Bridge replacement over I-95 and Little Neck Road Bridge replacement over I-95. And then we will have John Carter Road improvements, Truman Parkway improvements, and Islands Expressway improvements. The Quaker Road widening, currently Chatham County is funding the widening with its BLAST funds. So I still need some clarification from Chatham County regarding that one. But eventually, probably this project will not be included. So these would be the project list that identify the needs that we want to include in the vision plan or we want to amend into the vision plan. And since we're still in the comment period, so any project, any comments we receive and we will address. So we are just presenting to you today for endorsement of the proposed projects to be amended into the 2045 MTP vision plan, subject to the changes and then more project information coming from the project sponsors.
Thank you. With that understanding, anyone have any questions for Dakota? Any further questions for her?
Dakota, this is Eric Curl. Can you tell me a little bit about what the Truman Parkway improvements are?
That's what I was trying to get more information from Chatham County.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
No. Yeah. So, for Garden City and the Pooler, they provided project information as you can see. But for the other jurisdictions, not a lot of information is available for the projects. So you can see for Pooler and the Garden City, they actually have the project description. So right now, I'm just asking for the other project sponsors, for example, the Chatham County, to provide more information on what their projects would be. Because based on this, like $4 million wouldn't be a major improvements. And the Islands Expressway might not be the major improvements. So if they decide that they can fund these projects with local funds, instead of pursuing the federal dollars, we might not be including these projects in the final list that we present to the Corn Bureau Board. Right now, I'm just still trying to get information.
Well, Coda, I've got a question, Tony Abbott, if you're finished.
Yes, I'm done.
Thank you. Two questions. The The Quaco Road widening of $15 million, that is what's currently being undertaken right now on Quaco Road. Is that correct? From 17 to 95.
From 17 to 95. Yeah. So that's why this project might not be included in this, because if Chatham County is already funding this project with local funds, funding all of the phases, preliminary engineering, right away, and construction, so this project wouldn't need to be included in the vision plan.
That's what I was kind of wondering. And then also you've answered my question. Thank you. The Quaco Road replacement, bridge replacement over I-95, $32 million. Tell me a little bit about that. I wasn't aware of that.
This is just coming from Leon Davenport, just to compile the project list from all the jurisdictions. So I haven't got any specific project information on these projects. So anything that you don't have a project description, I'm still waiting for project description from the local sponsors.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Because you want us to endorse this, right?
Yes, we want the TCC, we would like the TCC to endorse the proposed project list subject to the corrections and then more information to be added to this project.
That understanding, let's try this, is the appropriate for a motion to, anyone make a motion?
Tony Abbott, I move that we approve the project, the proposed projects as submitted by staff.
Is there a second? Mr. Turner?
I second. Is there a Curl?
Thank you. The motion has been properly moved and seconded. Now it's time for us to vote. All in favor of endorsing this motion, please say yes or yay or whatever.
Tony Abbott, aye.
Aye. Anyone else aye. Endorse it? Okay.
Let's Armand Turner, aye.
Three. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone opposed to it? So all the voting on this matter is in favor of it, so the motion has carried. Now we're down to action item number 5, regional transit safety performance targets 2021. Is there a staff report on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Alicia Hunter. I'll be presenting on that.
Go ahead.
And I will be sharing my screen.
Mm-hmm. So how do I stop? Okay, sharing my screen.
Thank you, Rakota. Okay, can everyone see my presentation?
Yes, I see.
I can see it.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm presenting on the 2021 Regional Transit Safety Performance Targets. And to provide you all with some background on this topic, the FTA established transit safety performance measures, and they ruled that certain transit agencies and MPOs must set their performance targets for performance measures that the FTA established. Transit agencies and MPOs that must follow this requirement are those that are recipients or sub-recipients of FTA grant funds. Transit agencies are required to set their transit safety performance targets in their public transportation agency safety plans. And once transit agencies set those targets, they're required to share them with MPOs. And MPOs have 180 days from that time to set performance targets for the region. And to provide some further understanding of the topic and the difference between performance measures and performance targets, safety performance measures are set by the FTA, They are quantifiable indicators used to measure a performance or condition, whereas safety performance targets are set by transit agencies and MPOs, and those are quantifiable levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. So safety performance measures help transit agencies and MPOs assess progress towards meeting safety performance targets. And now we'll review the transit safety performance measures that are set by the FTA. There are four performance measures, first being fatalities and serious injuries, safety events, and system reliability. Addressing the FTA's four safety measures requires transit agencies and MPOs to set seven safety performance targets by mode. The first three listed performance measures are shown as a total number and the rate per total per total vehicle miles traveled by mode. And then the last performance measure of system reliability is shown as a mean distance between mechanical failures by mode. This is the first time that transit agencies and MPOs are going through this process of setting transit safety performance targets. CAT is the only transit agency in the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area that falls under the FTA requirements for setting these targets. And CAT developed their plan and transit safety targets and shared those with the core MPO in January 2021. And the core MPO has until July 2021 to set performance targets for the region. And here, this table presents the transit safety performance targets that are set by CAT. And as you can see, there are four measures that are being addressed by seven targets. This timeline just serves as a visual representation of the target setting for the planning area. Once the core MPO adopts the regional targets, we'll have until July 20th to incorporate the targets into the TIP and NTP. And setting the transit performance targets for the planning area was coordinated with CAT and GDOT. And the core MPO recommends using CAT's transit performance as the regional targets because they are the only transit provider in the planning area that are required to set targets. And it'll also help ensure a common goal and consistency between the two organizations. In terms of updates to the performance targets and the system performance report, transit providers are required to update their transit performance targets annually. However, MPOs are not required to. But currently, the core MPO updates the system performance report when new performance targets are adopted. So today, the core MPO staff is requesting CAC to endorse the proposed regional transit safety performance targets for the planning area.
Thank you. Having heard what the presentation, is there a motion to give them the endorsement they're asking for? Anyone in favor of endorsing this? Hello?
Tony Abbott, I'll move to endorse the findings of the staff.
Second motion. Is there a second motion?
My turn now, second.
Thank you. The motion is properly moved and seconded. So now we can, if there's any discussion, we can have that now. If there's no discussion, we can go right into a vote on it. Any discussion? Not hearing any discussion. Let's vote. All in favor of endorsement, say yay or yes or whatever. Favor, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Eric Earl.
Tony Abbott. Aye.
Armand Turner. Aye.
Anyone opposed? So I heard no opposition to it, or some, at least four or five people saying approving it. So the motion is carried. Thank you. Now we're down to the last action item, which is action item six, amendments to fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIF. Is there a report on that, Ms. Saad?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be presenting on that as well. Everyone can see my screen still, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. So I'm presenting the TIF amendments to the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIF. And the MPO's short-range planning document known as the TIF can be modified to ensure that updates to projects, revenue, cost estimates, and schedules are incorporated. And the MPO has received project updates from GDOT along with new funding and programming information this past January and February. And so this staff report covers those proposed updates to the 2021-2024 TIF. There are updates to existing highway and transit fund revenue projections along with additional funds being added, as you can see in this table. And then there are three proposed highway project updates and three proposed transit project, project updates. Of the highway updates, the first is Chevis Road Improvement Project. Chatham County was awarded some lapsing TAP funds and Z301 revenues. The cost estimate for the PE phase has been updated to reflect the changes in funding. The second update is for a new feasibility study on the Savannah River crossing. GDOT added a scoping phase for this new study, which will help identify strategies for bridge improvements. And this project is 100% locally funded. We also have some updates to lump sum. Two lump sum categories were added, and those were freight operations and rural development. And then one lump sum category was removed, which was construction management. And for the transit updates, the first being section 5339 of the capital and operation funds. This is a new fund and programming that's currently not in the TIP and will be programmed into the fiscal year 2021. The second update is the Z950 FHWA ferry boat funds. Updates are occurring to the funding in fiscal year 2021 and 2022. GDOT requests funds from previous years from FHWA and FTA all at once, which is resulting in all the funds being programmed into fiscal year 2021. And the third transit update is section 5311 of the Capital and Operations Fund. And GDOT has provided us with updated cost estimates for fiscal year 2022 and 2024. And included in this staff report is an appendix that provides all the updated TIP project pages and tables. And today, the MPO staff is asking CAC members to endorse the proposed updates to the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIF. Thank you.
Any discussion? Any questions? Not hearing any questions. I would like to ask for a vote on this matter. Anyone has a, not a vote, but a motion to endorse? Is this someone?
So moved. This is Eric Curl.
Okay. Anyone else wants to second that?
Armand Turner, I second.
It's a properly moved and seconded. So now is the time for us to vote on it. All in favor indicate their approval of the motion by saying something in affirmative. Yay, aye, whatever.
Armand Turner, aye.
Tony Abbott, aye.
Eric Curl, aye.
Anyone else? Okay, so we have a number of several people who've indicated their approval or support for the motion, I mean for the endorsement. Anyone opposed? not any opposition to it, and having many people supporting it, the motion carries. This ends our action items. We've got quick action items. Now we have, we're going to other things just quickly. Is there a status report? Our status reports from staff?
I'm on a virtual meeting right now.
Mr. Jim, yes, we are not going to have any status report at this meeting.
Thank you. What about our agency reports?
Agency reports are included under notices. So you will see the notice agency reports from GDOT, which is number 10, and then agency report from Chatham County, and number 11, and agency reports from City of Savannah, and agency reports from CAT. So if you have any questions on any of those projects, just forward us the questions and we will try to get the answers from the agencies.
Thank you. Other business? Other business for this group? Okay. On the notices, we've already been told like some of the agency reports have been touched on. Anyone comment on the notices in general from the staff? Now, I understand these are not action items, so this comes to us as information.
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, then number seven, if Mark is not going to cover it, I would just cover it.
I'm here, Rakota. I can.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I can speak to it.
Yeah.
We mentioned a simple question, I guess, was posed, or I guess at the beginning of the meeting was something relative to, you know, how good an MPO we were or something to that effect. And I mentioned that, you know, you might want to take a look at the certification report. And this is a linked to this agenda item is our March 31st of 2021 certification report. So you can read in detail what our federal oversight agency had to say. As I mentioned, there were a few commendations, probably somewhere between 12 and 20 recommendations. Some of them we're already doing anyway. You know, some of them we'll take on in the coming year. But this is the review from an outside agency, one that has oversight. So we encourage you to take a look if you're interested. And so that's really
for 5 years. We have to be certified. You right?
Right. Yeah. We were unconditionally certified for another 4 years. It's a quadrennial review, so it will take place 4 years from now.
Okay. Thank you. I noticed that there's no eight. Is there a reason? Is that oversight? I'm looking at we go from seven to nine. Not that it's a big deal, but
eight is on page one at the bottom.
That's the next CAC meeting.
I don't see it. Okay, that's all right. Okay. Anyone comment on 9 or 10, 11, 12, 13?
I have covered the 10, 11, 12, and 13. So those are the agency reports. Number 9. Number 9 is the new cutoff date for the 2021 calendar meetings. We are just pushing all the cutoff dates forward by 1 week so that when we submit agenda items, we have sufficient time for 3 levels of approval. So if any agency that has if GDOT wants to request a TIP amendments, need to send us the notice 1 week earlier than previously. So something like that. So we just updated the schedule, 2021 schedule of meetings, to just move the cutoff date forward by 1 week.
Okay, thank you. I noticed that number 14 speaks of neighborhoods and faith-based organizations meetings and asked that they be contacted and get their input, which is a good thing. Anyone has any comments to make before we adjourn the meeting? Any comments at all? Are there anything to report? Okay, this meeting is now officially adjourned. Thanks for coming together. We appreciate your time.